podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is the Anfield Wrap live show on a Monday. Well, free show on a Monday for you, coming from Thailand's National Stadium. Behind us, Liverpool are training. They're doing all of the drills, all the bits and pieces. You can see them there, possibly, if I move that way, if you're watching it as a video. We've got this one set up for us, so it'll just be running as it goes. I've got Craig Hannon. I've got John Gibbons. Tell you what, it's a lovely ground, this. I love the way it ebbs and flows, John, through the middle of it. And it's got a massive telly at one end. Oh, yeah. Both ends, actually, but that end one's better.
Yeah, well, it's a huge telly, and before they did a close-up of Virgil van Dijk, and it was like 80 foot of Virgil van Dijk's face, and I never knew how much I needed that in my life until I got it.
Like a Mount Rushmore of van Dijk.
Well, I was so big, but he looked so handsome. I wouldn't want me that close at the moment, put it that way.
No, absolutely not.
Hot and sweaty is the order of the day.
The joke is, before, when we got a picture with the manager afterwards, I looked like I just got beaten the dart 6-5 by Michael van Gerwen. That was the general look of me at the Ali Pali. Couldn't handle the pressure, buckled. I was 5-2 up at one point. Craig, it is, firstly, the footballers look great. Like, it's the first time I've seen them in ages, and so many of them, not just when they go up on the big screen, but from what we can see, the speed of the training drills is absolutely mesmeric.
It's incredible, isn't it, when you see it up close? Sorry, I'm going to be turned away from the camera.
It's fine, the camera's fine.
We're watching the footballers.
They're incredible. You see their quality in little tight spaces, and that sounds like an obvious thing to say because they're professional footballers, but that is the difference. That is the massive difference that you see whenever you're watching this close up. It's just exciting to see there's some of the young players involved there, and obviously the new signings. I'm looking forward to seeing a bit more of Nunez as we go through, and hopefully they play a little bit more of a match or some sort of shooting here.
Yeah, no, it looks the absolute business behind us at the minute. The stadium looks great as it's staggered all the way through. Craig, I interviewed the manager before. It was a pleasure to do so, as he is always the absolute business. Movement around us all the time, by the way, as we're doing this. But the thing that he clearly wanted to say today, because he didn't just say it to us, it was to everyone, was this conversation around Liverpool's midfielders. As far as he's concerned, he genuinely just doesn't see what all the fuss is about. And he couldn't be more unequivocal, I think. You know, he was very determined he was going to make his point, and he made it.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if you asked him about midfielders, suddenly he was thrown in.
Yeah,
he does this with interviews with you, doesn't he? There's always a message that he wants to get across, and obviously the fact that he said that, not just us, to all of the media who have ran with it today, that was the thing that he wanted to get in there, didn't he?
Yeah, I just wonder, first and foremost, how does he know that people are wondering about midfield? Who's told him? But also,
he's on Twitter. He's on Twitter.
Well, you
I know
think
he's,
that.
He's definitely on Twitter.
Unknown entity.
Yeah, it's always like, oh yeah, me mate told me, innit?
Yeah,
do you know
yeah.
what I mean? It's always that. I don't read the newspaper. But someone said in the papers.
But he's got it. He couldn't be more emphatic. You know, he's gone out of the way. He's used this metaphor of the golden cow, which, you know, when he was talking to Paul Joyce, that's in there as well. It seems to me like this is the nature of the manager he is. He wants to back his boys, and given the opportunity to back his boys, he will do it. And he feels as though these are the footballers that got him to where he got to last season, and he thinks they'll get him to where he wants to get to this.
I think there's a couple of things. I think when you look at how good this squad is, the first thing you're going to try and find something. What's the next thing that we need to sort? Oh, we signed a proper number 9. What's the next thing?
Okay.
Someone do something good.
A few more of the lads moved around, just some excitement.
Sharing what I was saying there, really.
Great point, Hanno.
you're always looking right. What's the next thing that we can fix? And the way Jurgen's looking at it is, he doesn't see a need to fix, because you know they win 2 trophies last season. They get to the final hurdle of the other two. So look, he wants to show confidence to his boys. He's obviously not going to sit down with you, Neil, and go, you know what, you're spot on, Akko.
I
need Jude Bellingham in my life. He's going to say, well, actually, I back Curtis to you know, to go up a level this season. You know, I'm backing Naby Keita, who, you know, can play more games and will play more games than he did last season. You know, and he knows he's got Fabinho, Thiago and Henderson. I'd like one more. I think we'd all like one more, but as he says, it's the golden cow.
But just on the one more thing though, Craig, this comes back to the other thing he does say is, if someone comes to me and says they want to leave, then it'll change the situation. I think that's the key. That's the beginning, middle and end of the one more, is that that's his outlook, that's the way in which he's going about his business.
It's the Chamberlain question as to whether someone comes in and lashes 15 million at Chamberlain. I think a few of the journalists have said that at different times, and I've thought all along that it's always been a bit of a negotiation tactic. You say that you're not looking for another midfielder, that you're happy with what you've got. We've seen him do it time and time again. We've seen, you know, I'm sure when we were signing Oxlade-Chamberlain, he said in the press conference on tour, we're not signing Oxlade-Chamberlain, and then we signed him at the end of the summer. So I don't think he's being completely honest. I think they will be looking. I think if Jude Bellingham's available, they'll go for it. But ultimately, we've seen with this manager that he's happy to wait for another season if the right player isn't available.
He's happy to wait, John. I think that the idea of the...
I tell you what, throwing a tackle in there.
Absolutely lashed at him.
careful, that's Thiago there, he's
yeah, be careful on that
one. We'll need a midfielder.
Fabinho's broken.
There is on it, John, with him and with the way in which he goes about this. It is that I think it's not just the idea that he backs the footballers with the talent, it's also the ones that he's worked with. And I think that's a big deal to him. Also the idea that everyone knows what the role is, everyone knows where they are in the pecking order, everyone knows what they need to do to move the pecking order around. I think that's worth pointing out as well. But it is not as simple as he just thinks, well, you just get one more in because they might be a bit better. And I think that this is just who he is, and that's what he's about. And that very much, I think, suits the people who make decisions around transfers at Liverpool as well. Everyone's very much on the same page as on this.
Yeah, I think, you know, he values people as well, and he thinks he's got a really special group in terms of how they are. You know, everyone's sound, and I think that's clear. You know, everyone you speak to says, like, you know, there's the no, but it's basically everyone's sound, everyone supports each other. And I think Jürgen's worked in football long enough to know that that's sort of a rare thing. It's something that James Milner talks about as well, where, and he's, you know, played for lots of football clubs. You know, we did the player profiles on him recently for subscribers, and, you know, you're talking about all his clubs and the impact that he's made there and the different dressing rooms he's had, but he talks about this one sort of being really, really special. So I think he's, for Jürgen, he's like, he'd love to break up that, and that's not to say that occasionally someone might move on, like Sadio Mane, but he's like, if I can help it, I'd rather keep it. You know, we had the situation obviously at Dortmund with your players sort of leaving every summer, and it did his head, and he's like, well, no one's to go now, and they're still trying to maybe get new lads. I think he backs the players, you know, he backs them as people, he also backs them as footballers as well. And I think as supporters, we can always be a little bit guilty of wanting the shiny new thing or wanting the golden cow, if we're going to sort of say that really, and forgetting sort of how good that these lads are, really. And you know, he mentioned Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain there. I think he'd back Chamberlain if he did have a run in the team to sort of, you know, to produce the goods. You know, it's, for one reason or another, it didn't happen season.
But this is where what is difficult, John, is his own actions. So there's a couple of exceptions, and trust me, Curtis Jones's performance at Southampton is one of them, and the selection at Southampton is one of them. But, you know, we were laughing in the office and laughed on this tour. You know, Naby Keita only starts 19 Premier League and Champions League games. Chamberlain's number is even lower, Jones's number is lower, Elliot's number is lower. And this is where, you know, the manager may well feel as though these lads can come and bring something to the party, but it is fair to sort of say, well, you haven't been picking them when there's perhaps been opportunity to do so in the second half of last season. I mean, Chamberlain barely gets a kick in the end.
Yeah, he doesn't play after March. I mean, that's a fair point, but I think he does get to a point in the season where he's like, right, I'm not messing around now, these are my guys. And I think that's as much about sort of rhythm
Do you think the job is almost for these lads to establish themselves as much as they can in the first part of the season, so they become essential for the second part of the season, which Keita does about 75% of, I think it's worth saying.
Yeah, I think so, but I don't think that's the case for just the midfielders. So for example, you know, Konate finishes the season first choice, he starts in that Champions League game. I don't think that guarantees that he's necessarily going to be first choice next season. I think it puts him in a really good position, don't get me wrong, but I mean, would it shock anyone if Joe Gomez had a really good pre-season and suddenly he's starting the first league game? You know, it wouldn't be completely mad, would it? And he's someone who, like you've just said there, Neil, who just couldn't get his game, you know, at all towards the end of last season. So that wouldn't shock you at all. So I don't think Klopp necessarily feels that there's a set pecking order. I think he just decides that at some point in the season that there is, and these are the guys who've got the rhythm, these are the guys who are playing together, these are the guys who've got up this understanding, and I'm just going to go with these to the end. But it all does almost a reset in the summer, I think, with him.
There's also a reset potentially for the World Cup. I'll come back to you one more time, John, before I bring Craig in on the Carvalho aspect, which he's brought into midfield today. But there's also with this little run here, there is the first 16 league games and the Champions League games that come with it. Then there is the World Cup, and then there is the January transfer window opening. So if he does feel as though he's got one that he doesn't necessarily need, I think there's a chance he does something a little bit different, moves someone on, promotes someone from within, and maybe even looks at dipping into the market. They were prepared to do it last summer because Diaz became available.
Yeah, I think so. And it's interesting on the World Cup, because Klopp made reference to it recently in an interview where he said, basically some players are going to have a very long season this season, and for others they've got a big break, and so he's mindful of it. He's already talking about it. Now, I don't think the World Cup will affect his decisions on who starts the first game of the season, you know, for example, but it will start sort of creeping in the longer the season goes, and certainly afterwards, you know, we'd be thinking about who's fresh, you know, who's gone deep into the World Cup, who maybe sort of went out a little bit earlier, you know, who's had the breaks. It's a lot to think about, really, and I think, you know, Jürgen Klopp's fine with that. You know, he understands situations, he doesn't get stressed out about things that he sort of can't control. This is the situation now, but he will be mindful of it, and I'm pretty sure he will be, because he's talking about it already.
He mentions Carvalho for the first time in a midfield setting. The start of the summer, Neil Jones said Carvalho, when he signs, will be seen as a front three option first and foremost. He does mention little bits as well around shape, and I do think that where people line up may well be similar, but because of different names or in different positions, that'll move along. But it's interesting, Carvalho and Tyler Morton, talked about Tyler Morton playing as an eight, but Carvalho especially, I think, being thrown into that midfield setup, I think is interesting. And when I was speaking to him, he said, well, you don't know where the goals are going to come from next season.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting in that I think that's as well, that can be seen a bit of a negotiation tactic as well. Like, I think you start throwing players at that position and saying, oh yeah, he can play there, that's why we don't need. But having had a week's training with him, he's maybe looked at him and gone, oh well, actually I like the look of him here, similar to what he did with Harvey Elliott at the beginning of last season. I think it'd be interesting as well to see what he does with Harvey Elliott, and because the beginning of the season he was starting so much, surprisingly, and obviously until that injury at Leeds away, he was a sort of mainstay in the team. So look, I don't think we're going to see loads of Carvalho straight away, but he's obviously seen something in training that he's thought stylistically, you know, he can do a job in there.
I think on Carvalho, I think, you know, he's making the points on you know, it's interesting, he referred to as a midfielder, but I think it was part of a wider point, which was basically like, these lads are really good and I want them to play, and if you keep saying I've got to buy people, I can't, and so if you keep sort of throwing in more players, established players who are going to want to play as well, like, I can't sort of make that happen. So I think it was as much a point around that, really. These are talented young lads, we've gone out and got them. You know, Carvalho could have gone pretty much anywhere, couldn't he? You know, he was one of the most highly
sourced. He could have gone to West Ham and been pretty much guaranteed a game every week. West Ham were really interested in him, and that's always been interesting to me.
Yeah, and so I don't think that Jürgen Klopp is necessarily, you know, making him any promises or anything like that, but he is saying, like, you know, I'll have a look at you, you know, and if you're good enough, you're old enough, and he's proved that with Harvey Elliott. He's proved that obviously with Trent. He gives him, you know, his first starts with Man United at Old Trafford, isn't it? There's nothing sort of bigger than that, so he'll back the lads, and that's why I think Liverpool, you know, is the destination now for if you're a 17 to 19 year old. And what hardly tipped it. That's why they're coming here, because they do get opportunities. And so I think it's a fair point.
He also mentioned in the interview today the idea of blocking pathways. Yeah. And I think that's key to all of this, that he's looking at it and he's saying, well, you know, we've seen Curtis Jones's development. We brought in Carvalho and I think he can do a job there. If you bring in a Jude Bellingham or whoever this season, then, you know, suddenly where are they getting their game? But I just thought it was interesting that he mentioned that point. He was keen to stress that.
Sorry, Neil's just getting his pass. I've been on air.
No worries at all. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much, Lisa. Excellent stuff. Yeah, the pass was.
Did you have a sort of a black one?
Yeah, I'd like a rubbish. Holding position one, whereas I've got this now, which they managed to sort out for me. All the passes knocking around. This is the. Doing new drills, separating off at the minute, left the goalkeepers and sorting these little bits and pieces out behind us with the sticks. The other thing I think about them, Craig. And we'll come on to talk about this more widely in a minute or two. But we're basically studying on the side of a pitch where I think there's probably about at least 5,000 people, I think, who are knocking around watching this training session from a Liverpool point of view. He talked about people being back and that being important to him, and him seeing that as part of football, you know, the massive part of football. They haven't been able to do one of these for a while, and as I say, we'll have more of a wider chat about it in a second or two, but from your point of view, from what you've seen, you've been in Bangkok for 3 or 4 days, it's staggering to me how much all of Liverpool, it feels as though maybe we're just in a bit of a bubble, but you very much know Liverpool are in Bangkok. I think it's crystal clear, it's everywhere that you go. We've been to a foundation event today. It really is like a little festival of football turned up to Bangkok, and to be fair, that's also because it's also Manchester United as well. Bangkok knows Liverpool are playing Manchester United tomorrow night.
Yeah, I was surprised. You know, I've done a couple of these tours and both of them have been in America, and it's completely different here. You know, when we arrived at the airport yesterday, and even before the team had arrived, you heard the chants that you hear in Anfield, and then you heard the chants that they'd made up themselves, and you can see, like, You know, you can just see the hysteria around Liverpool coming to town. Like, I think John was doing a podcast yesterday at one of the Tour Diaries where someone said on Twitter it's just screaming for the first 10 minutes because it was just high pitched squeals. And I'm glad that the manager and the players went down to sort of greet all the fans, and because as we'd heard, some of them had been waiting since 6 a.m. just to catch a glimpse and actually not knowing whether they would, and I'm glad they did. And yeah, just, you know, every taxi driver you jump in and you say you want to go somewhere and they go Liverpool, and you're like, yeah,
that taxi driver rang his missus to say, did you answer that? That's, you know, when you thought he was talking to us,
yeah,
and he basically rang his missus, I've got some lads from Liverpool in the car,
and it's brilliant.
John's ties come on leaps
no,
and bounds.
No, yeah, well, a bit of ages, Neil.
And do you know what, I've like many, after the Champions League final, I've been a bit sort of like I've needed a break from football, but seeing the fans back in the stadium, I'm really, really looking forward to tomorrow night to see them sort of recreate the fan culture that they see at home and add elements of their own. I'm looking forward to seeing the scarves and the banners and all the shirts.
Excellent stuff. All right, we're going to do this show in a little part. So this is the end of the first part, and then we'll be different for the second part, and we'll talk about different things as well. Don't be worrying about it at all. It is the Anfield Wrap, just live with brilliant footballers kicking the ball around behind you. It doesn't get better than this. It's one of the reasons
to
come on
tour. You look stressed, mate.
Paul Machin there. Anyway, more in a minute. Back, Neil Atkinson and John Gibbons and Craig Hannon. The other thing that comes out of his multitude of midfield conversations today, John, is that he's very settled with the idea of a hierarchy as to who's going to play six for him. Fabinho, more than happy with Henderson there, and was talking up Milner there as well. Now, we've had pre-seasons in the past where he talked up Lallana there endlessly, the idea of Lallana in the six. I was getting very carried away with, so I think it's stuff happening up the other end, which is somewhat confusing in terms of set pieces.
Because yeah, I've just turned around and yeah, we've got a young goalie just sat with the ball. So yeah, that's not very exciting.
There's a goal kick drill that Jürgen's come all the way back to look after, and now he's fed it out onto this side. And yeah, then playing through midfield, playing through the lines, and they've lost out in the end there. Henderson picked it off them brilliantly. And I think the other end up, they're doing set pieces. But he was talking about the Sixers, John, and his hierarchy of them, with Fabinho, saying about Henderson, saying about Milner. In the past, we've had that with Lallana. Do you think that's enough, or do you think that he's being a bit optimistic there?
I think it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I think I don't mind Henderson six, but then you need to, you know, reflect the fact that if he is six, then he's not, you know, for that game at least, doesn't become an option for the two up front. It's interesting he doesn't mention Thiago, because Thiago is sort of deep lying. I wonder whether, you know, we might see a little bit more 4-2-3-1 next season than we have done this season as well. And when he's talking about Cavalier as a midfield option, you know, maybe sort of more means that, you know, I feel like he can play in that three. And he talked about tens, number tens, in a couple of the interviews I've seen, and says, you know, if got a lot of lads who sort of want to play there, then they sort of want to supposed to do. So it's interesting, you know, he's talking about, you know, and you know, he might just be talking about sort of the attacking midfield role, really, which we've seen sometimes one of the three is more attacking, that's also right sided, so he might be sort of referring to that. But I do think, you know, we might see a little bit more 4-2-3-1, in which case, you know, there's quite a few of our midfielders who, if they were in a two, you know, you'd be quite comfortable with. I think it then throws it to, obviously, Thiago into, I think, Keita, you'd be fine with it in a two as well. And so there's almost five of them there where you start.
But would you be fine? So let's just say, hypothetically, would you be fine with Keita and Thiago in a two in a 4-2-3-1? Or is that a very much a match dependent thing? So one of the bottom 10 at home, he picks that team, you go, yeah, we'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, I think I would, yeah, because I think I'd trust them to work it out, because they're both smart footballers as well. And so I think, you know, you wouldn't necessarily have, you know, that big imposing figure that you have when Fabinho's there. You know, you wouldn't have the lighthouse, if you like. But if there were sort of two of them there, and they're both, you know, they're both able to get out the pitch, that, you know, they're both those sharp in the movement, really, and smart footballers as well, I would back them, certainly in the type of games that you're talking about there, which is, you know, a team who are maybe struggling a little bit at home. I'd quite like to see it, in fact, the more I think about it.
You talked yourself into
great. So start it first game.
I think there will be more of Henderson at six. I think this is part of the I like my options, and we're going to do things maybe a little bit differently. There would have been more Elliot if it hadn't been for the injury, Craig, and then that becomes, well, where does Henderson get his games from potentially in there? And I think that he'll have enjoyed what he got to see from Jordan Henderson in the last third of the season when he popped up in that deepest lying role. I think that's what we're going to get a fair bit of, especially in the first part of the season when there's so many games, Henderson and Fabinho sharing that role.
Oh yeah.
Fabinho just nearly scored an outrageous flick. It would have gone off if that would have gone. It was a nice cross. young lad there.
Sorry, what did you ask there again? Sorry.
You're very distracted by the football happening.
Yeah, yeah, they're so good. It's so quick what's happening in front of us.
I was saying about how Henderson playing six is something that I think he would have done more of, or it was comfortable to do more of at times last season.
I'm laid back with that. I think in terms of footballers in the first 11, Van Dijk aside, Fabinho is the one that I look at, and if he's in there, he's the safety blanket to me. He's the one that if I don't see it, I worry. But if there's going to be one of them, it's Henderson dropping in that position. I think on what John was talking about the change in formation, I think we will see something like that, especially with Nunes having signed. And I think having players that he feels can unlock defences, so you know, you think of the Harvey Elliott, you think of Carvalho, it's these players that I think you might see in these positions. And obviously, look, he's heavily loaded up top, even with Sadio Mane going. He needs to get these footballers time on the pitch and get all of the best ones at the same time, so I think we might see that, particularly at home.
People are cooing and aahing at the far end of the pitch, John, because of Darwin Nunes. There's been a couple of crosses whipped in and he has headed the life out of them, and I think that's what's got people sort of going, oh, that's quite an interesting one at the back there, as he's been sort of rising at the back post. He still remains, you know, we're going to be fortunate enough to watch this game against Manchester United tomorrow night. He is the one you are excited by seeing in the Liverpool shirt, him and Carvalho. I really want to see what both of them have got tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, I hope, you know, we see a fair few minutes from both of them. You know, how he picks the team and who he rotates and things like that will be interesting tomorrow. I think it'll be very much dependent on how much they've trained. So a lot of the lads, you know, I think this might be some of them first training sessions, or they train when they landed. But the likes of Mo Salah have only joined pre-season. There's a few others as well, you know, basically on the flight, which is quite nice to see everyone out here, boys. Yep. Meet at the airport like a stag do. But for a lot of them, this, you know, the first training sessions, so I think he'll be a bit mindful of that, who he picks, but then he might just pick two 11s. He might just pick, you know, one half, one the other, and see sort of how he goes from there. I would imagine, you know, he's brought 32 lads for a reason, and some of that is to have a look at them, you know, and some of it for the young lads is to give them a little bit of experience and a little bit of, you know, a taste of being in this environment, you know, hearing the use and experiencing how big the football club is and giving them a taste of that. But also, I think he's looking at it thinking, well, you know, it's warm conditions, I want to give these lads a go. We're off here with Bobby Firmino. Is he going to cross it? Oh, he's at the bar.
Carvalho's just at the bar from Firmino. Another block in there as well. They're playing very cool from Matip, heading back to the game. They're playing behind us. If you're listening to this, they're playing a little thing where basically one side's got to play out of the press and the other side's got to press, win it back and go. And they're playing a bit of back and forth in that one. The speed with which, firstly, they press each other, but also the way they play out of it, Craig, is absolutely unbelievable.
It's warm as well.
It's outrageous when you think they're in trouble and then they're not, and then suddenly they've create a chance like Firmino did there. It's unbelievable. I'm dying to have a kick about here, Neil, I'm not going to lie. We were at an event earlier and it was little kids, and I just wanted to, you know, knock a ball about. But I thought, you know what, I have to be professional.
Especially
here
with actual Liverpool coaches there as well. You feel like if you hit one nicely, you know what I mean, you might have a way with your egg and say, like, what just absolute, in the wee man today, eggs.
What absolute nonsense. Let's be crystal clear.
Intensity is not my identity.
No, it's most definitely not your identity. Bad knees are your identity. Before we get on to anything else. The other thing to sort of, as I said before, about looking forward to Nunes tomorrow night, John, I mentioned Carvalho as well. I'm sort of looking forward to another pre-season of Harvey Elliott. I think, you know, we've thrilled at two of them. One of them, he ended up going on loan because they couldn't shift Shaqiri on. Last one, he got him into a position where he was starting games against Chelsea, games away at Leeds United before the terrible tackle, which disrupts the season. I feel like Elliott is going to be absolutely raring to go, and we've just seen some lovely Curtis Jones play as well on this left-hand side there when they were just playing out with Milner.
Yeah, I think it's a big pre-season for a lot of players. I don't necessarily buy
into
it.
It's strange to say when they've just got 90 points, got two trophies and you know, got to the European Cup final.
Yeah, but I think I think sometimes pre-season is a bit downplayed and people say, oh, it doesn't matter, it's all about fitness. But I think it's more than that. I think it's about impressing the manager. And listen, I don't think the manager's necessarily worried about score lines and things like that. And you're obviously going to see a lot of lads giving a go. But he is interested to see what they do in games, you know, how they combine. I think for the forwards, particularly, you mentioned there, Nunes, he'll be keen to look at, well, how's he he linking up with his new teammates? Who's he got a natural understanding with? You know, who maybe did he need a little bit of work? You know, is he picking up spaces? You know, did he should be, or is he moving out the, you know, out to the wide? And who's sort of coming in and little things like that? He'll be looking out for. You mentioned the midfielders and options that they've got. It is a summer where Javi Elliott can remind us all what a fantastic player he was, and he was someone who went out of favour sort of a little bit towards the end of the last season. But I think it was mainly the thing that I was talking about before, which he just decides, you know, who his lads are at a certain point and just sort of goes with them. I think Curtis Jones, listen, I really like Curtis, sort of said this, you know, a lot on podcasts, but you know, you want to see sort of a big pre-season from him. And you know, if Klopp's back in his midfield options, which he's saying he is, then there is games for them. There is games sort of out there. And listen, Jones backs himself, doesn't he? So we'd be thinking, you know, he can get a starting place more often than not. And that's how you need to be as a young footballer in such a talented squad.
I think you might just have left one on that, Phillips, by the way. But anyway,
if there's seemingly a midfield gap in there that we're all talking about, I'm Curtis Jones. You know, I'm using this pre-season as to grab hold of it. And we all know what he's like. He'll be thinking that himself. He's a footballer that has seemingly spent his summer training in Dubai rather than going off on holiday for the entire time. So he knows what he needs to do. And I want to see him play it less safe. I feel like at times we saw that this season where he was safe. And there's like Curtis Jones coming up through the youth academy. There was a bit of magic about him. It was like that. He's like a wild card footballer, and we haven't really seen that from him. So pre-season is massive for him, and I'm excited to see how he does.
Absolutely, absolutely. It is still going on around us, the pre-season training, working on it right now. Lots of little bits of shouting. The manager's got them in and got them round having a chat to them. It's interesting how when they're coaching them for those spells, that there's two of them sat behind them at one end, telling them where to go and what to do next, very much getting drilling messages into them as they go.
Darwin Nunes has changed his socks, which is interesting.
I think he at the other end has caught a little bit of a knock of some description.
It is so exciting to watch it for the first time. We've been doing events out here, and you know, I've been pointing out to people like, you're going to get to watch Nunes for the first time, and that's really cool. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't get a lot of firsts as a Thai Liverpool fan, do you? But they are going to be the first people who get to watch Darwin Nunes in the flesh, and you know, how exciting, you know, for them and for us as well. Do you know what I mean? Because you know, we're Liverpool fans the same, and we're just really excited to see him. I can't wait to watch him. It'd be interesting to see how long he gets. You know, I was talking before about different people coming back at different time and whether that affects it. You know, is he going to be looking to give a few lads 15 minutes and things like that, or is it going to be like, you know, we want everyone sort of playing and a half? That's the sort of interesting thing, you know, for me to see over these next couple of games, really, how he shuffles it and how long he sort of gives people. But I'd love to see at least half an hour from Darwin Nunes on tomorrow night. That'd be absolutely brilliant. And I don't know, I'm sure maybe there's a little bit of a mix out later. Hopefully we get one of the fullbacks, because I'm going to ask them. Like, I mean, they must be licking their lips at the idea of his massive head.
There you are. It's the end of our second part of what we're doing here at the stadium today in Thailand. It's a pleasure to be here. Hope we're bringing a bit of colour, bringing it to you on the Anfield Wrap. If you haven't had the opportunity yet, do check out our interview with Jurgen Klopp. Pleasure to do. Got through a lot of stuff in a relatively short space of time. Download the app and use the tokens that are there and get on board with that. It will be out as a video at some point. It isn't as we record this. Hopefully it will be very soon indeed. But anyway, it is the Anfield Wrap. We are in Thailand. We'll be doing post-match content for you after the game against Manchester United, the same in the build-up to the game against Crystal Palace and the aftermath of that one as well. It's always good to come out on these tours and speak to so many Liverpool supporters. We'll be back in a minute. It is the Anfield Wrap. It is the free show. It is a pleasure to do. A pleasure to be in Thailand, as I said a minute or two ago. Here is some of the bits and pieces that we managed to get from the mix zone after Liverpool's training session here in Thailand.
Harvey, how was that for you? Look pretty intense in the heat. It's a good session.
Yeah, I mean, it's not your usual minus one session before a game, but I mean, yes, to put us in the best possible position tomorrow. None of us are going to play full game, so we needed that little run out and blow out today, just to go into tomorrow feeling fresh and feeling 100% and having that intensity in our mind. So, yeah, I mean, we're all looking forward to tomorrow. If you look at the crowd here today, or hear the crowd at least, it's I feel like it's going to be a big one tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, there's only a few thousand here, but they're making some racket, you know, backing you tomorrow. Obviously, there's going to be Man United fans in here as well. They're going to be wanting to compete with each other. I'm sure the Liverpool supporters will want to be the loud ones. So, yeah, it's going to be like a Premier League game tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. I mean, like always, the atmosphere is incredible wherever you go as a Liverpool player. So, once again, we're just really thankful to have that support all around the world, and just looking forward to putting on a show in front of these fans and then shown them sort of what the English game brings, because I don't think they get to watch it as much or at least witness it live. So, I mean, two superb teams in Liverpool and Man United. So, yeah, it'll be a great game for sure.
Do you feel like it's a big pre-season for you? It's a big pre-season for everyone, I guess. But for yourself, obviously, the start of last season, you're very much in the manager's plans. He's picking you more often than not. And then the injury comes. Do you feel like this is a chance to remind everyone, really, you know, what a top player you are and that you are the first team player for Liverpool?
Yeah, I think so. It's just down to me, really, to go and prove to the people and prove to the manager and the coaching team that I'm still able to play. Obviously, the injury came at a disappointing time for me last season. But it's a different season this season. I'm focused fully. And whatever happened last season's in the past. So, yeah, even just for myself, really, just to go out there, get some vital minutes and put myself in the best possible position for this season to make sure that I get the right amount of minutes in my leg and get the right workout for me. And just more importantly, enjoy football, because obviously I had 4.5 months out. So just to be back here playing and putting on a Liverpool shirt again, it's... As I keep saying, it's my dream. So to be able to do it even in friendly matches and pre-season matches is still a dream come true to myself. So yeah, I'm just once again so excited to put on the shirt and go out and play.
Just last one for me. The new lads, you know, how are they looking? You know, first chance for a few of us. I look at Darwin Núñez, obviously Caballo as well, who's coming similar sort of route to you. How are they looking?
Yeah, they're looking brilliant. I mean, both of the boys have settled in. Even the younger ones that have come up to train with us, they've looked brilliant. And just shows what quality this club has in terms of different age groups and different players. There's a lot of variety here and a lot of competition in positions. So, the two signings are going to help us and improve us as a team. If that was possible, but I think it is. I'm really looking forward to playing alongside them and seeing how they do, and obviously playing in front of the fans and showing the fans how good they are and why Liverpool signed them.
Well, go well tomorrow, mate. Nice to see you. Joe, it was a good session. I enjoyed watching it, being up close. Everyone looked sharp, and it was certainly some tackles going in there as well.
Yeah, another good session for us, you know, pre-season, so it's always going to be intense. First proper session back for quite a few of the boys, so... You know, amazing crowd to watch training, bit of atmosphere, and yeah, we enjoyed a good session, ready for tomorrow.
How are the new lads looking? You know, settling into a squad, I guess it's quite difficult. You know, it's an unusual place to meet some of your teammates, I suppose, but how are they doing sort of on the pitch and also like around the group as well?
All good. It's quite nice, you know, to come away together and be with each other every day, especially for the new players to get used to everyone and get to know everyone. So it's nice for them, they've settled in well, and hopefully they can just enjoy the next week or so being here.
We're talking about the parade a couple of days ago, where we were sort of in the press conference and saying how I feel that, you know, give everyone a boost when we needed it, and also going into this season, you know, keeping that positivity going. You know, do you still sort of think about that day and how many people, you know, turned out and the atmosphere, and you know how we could hopefully push into this pre-season with that feeling of togetherness, but also determination to win more and have more parties?
Yeah, for sure. I thought it was an amazing experience. You know, it's all good when you win trophies and win things for people to turn out, but it was a special moment for us after the Champions League final to come back to the support we had. I think that means an awful lot to the lads and the staff, and it makes you want to do it even more for them, you know, this season. Go again, give absolutely everything and try and be as successful as possible. Like you said, have more times together.
And when Andy Robertson said, "Oh, me mate can DJ," I don't know if you were expecting some lad he went to school with us. Maybe you'll get the nod the next time. No, in terms of tomorrow night, it's going to be an amazing atmosphere here. I was just saying to Harvey, we've heard what noise, you know, a few thousand can make at a training session. They're going to be loud as anything tomorrow. I don't know if you're going to be able to concentrate in terms of everything that's going on, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night. I've had a bit of taste for it. It's a great stadium. It's going to be full.
The atmosphere is always really good here. You know, fans love football, really passionate. So I'm sure it'll be a good atmosphere. And first pre-season game back. So, yeah, nice to get back to playing football and not a bad game to do it in.
Be a lot of changes tomorrow night. Everyone's sort of coming back and things like that. Is it, do you think the manager will just want to have a look at as many players as possible in the game?
Yeah, I think he'll just, you know, do what we always do and try and play with the intensity that we play at. But obviously, I'm sure we'll be making changes within the game to give everybody minutes to try and build up for the pre-season games and be ready when the start of the season comes.
Right, we'll look forward to it. Nice one, mate. Cheers.
Thank you.
So post-mix zone, but before we talk about that little bit there as well, John, one of the things that just hit me whilst I was watching them press, play, move the ball, is that genuinely they press each other on the first day back of pre-season more than the bottom 10 do. Some of the bottom 10 do when they come to Anfield. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for those stretches there, they're absolutely killing each other, rattling in. A couple of them have gone down with knocks over the course of it. You know, you would think it would be an easy one back. You'd think it'd be one saying, oh, with the crowd and all of that. That was deadly serious stuff, and the speed of it's just astonishing.
Yeah, Thiago and Darwin Nunes, who was, who sat the rest of the session out. We saw a one on Thiago with Fabinho, and it was a lively tackle. Like, I don't know if it was that one, you'd assume. So with Darwin Nunes as well, he wants to sort of carry on, and the manager very much unceremoniously sent him to go and sit down. You know, he didn't want to, you know, he obviously wants to impress, and you know, looked a bit miffed about it. But you know, they're being sensible, aren't they? And listen, we all hope to see both of them tomorrow. But you're right, that's just the, you know, shows that the intensity of what that session was. And I think it's almost like the reminding the players what we're all about. And you know, there is the pebble in this line is our identity is intensity. And and you know, it's almost by saying, you know, it's first session, first proper session with the whole team, yeah, remember what we do, and it's this, and it doesn't matter if it's, you know, still very warm in the evening, and you know, it's a bit pretty humid and close, you know, so we're out there and we're working. And when I did talk to Jordan there, I'm not going to come on to that, but when I talked to Jordan, I asked him about, you know, seeing a lot of subs tomorrow night, and he said, well, yeah, because we want to be intense, so it's better to basically to go out for 45 minutes than for coast for 90. And that's quite an interesting thing, because you know, you think about him using a lot of subs, you know, in terms of, you know, wanting to have a look at a lot of players and things like that. And that's how I sort of framed the question. And he said, basically said, it's more about the fact that we want to go really hard, and so, you know, it's about, you know, but the recognition that they haven't, you know, maybe got 90 in the legs at the moment because they've all just had a big break. So it's all about, you know, tomorrow. It's, you know, I'm expecting to see that intensity on the pitch, because, you know, from the captain said there, really, you know, it's run harder than get off and give someone else a go.
No, but I think within, in general, that is the, you know, it's going to be interesting all the way through this season with the five sub question around that. But I just to capture it there and to be so close to it, which we were, and we, you know, we're so pleased we've been able to be so close. It's the intensity on both sides. When you've got the ball, you've also got to be intense, because these lads are roaring at you at a speed that you just would not believe. We've got Henderson going down the tunnel now. You know, your opponent / your teammates are roaring at you at a speed that you wouldn't believe, and that's, you know, we were laughing saying that we basically supported whichever set of Liverpool players had the ball at any one time. We want to see them do good stuff, but that's how they're able to play under such pressure, under such intensity, is that this is what they're doing to each other all the time.
Yeah, well, you can see that there's quite a few young players who come on the tour, isn't it? And I think there was a couple of them maybe, you know, struggling with the drill, and not struggling, but you know, the younger lads were more likely to give it away in certain situations than the more experienced ones. But that sound, they're not as used to it, and hopefully by the end of the week they're giving it away less, and they're getting more used to, you know, the speed of what's going on around them, the size of some of the units who were running at them as well. And also, just, you know, that's how you raise your level, isn't it? By playing with better players, by playing in these intense situations and really testing your touch, really testing your decision making, and speed of thought as well is a massive thing. You know, when I watch, you know, what they're doing, it's not just the quality that they've got on the ball, it's how quickly they make those decisions, and that's what the best players do. You know, they're able to, before they've even got it, they know what they're going to do, they know how to sort of shift it away. You know, their instincts and everything's absolutely spot on. And so, you know, when you're watching the very best, and there were some, you know, great performers out there in terms of those intensity
drills. Joe Gomez looked good.
Well, all the centre-halves are brilliant at football, is what I would say. And like, I think all of us have still got that. Well, I know I have. I say all of us still got that thing where you're like, oh, the lads who play centre-half aren't that good at footy. Do you know what I mean? Whereas Gomez was unreal in that drill. And Canati as well did one thing, and I was like, he's in trouble here. And he just danced around the fella. And I was like, how are you doing at your size? Do you know what I mean? He was so nimble on his feet and danced him around. So I was really impressed with both Gomez and Canati. But yeah, Joe looked sharp as anything, which is brilliant. So really looking forward to watching him tomorrow night. No,
you got to speak to Harvey as well. Thought he looked really, really good, really, really sharp. And you know, we said earlier on about how significant this little pre-season is for him. I think what I think is different here is that Liverpool, I think, are determined to make this a big week. And I'm actually surprised that the intensity of training there, I'm surprised by. But I think that's important for people like Harvey Elliott. I think it's important that from day one, as Harvey's getting back stuck into this, there's no hiding places. Not that he'd want one, but more the idea of we're all getting to the level that we need to get at ASAP, the level that he was hitting at the start of last season, where he was at the start of last season's campaign. We're getting everyone back there as quickly as we possibly can, and that's what we got to see, and that's what Harvey wants.
Yeah, I like speaking to Harvey. I've never really spoken to him, I don't think. I think that's the first time we've sort of had a, you know, I wouldn't call it in-depth chat, it was a few minutes, but I don't think I've actually sort of spoken to him before, apart from just to say hello in a certain situation. But I liked him. I thought he was really confident. He was, you know, articulate and backed himself, and not in a sort of a big-headed way, but, you know, he's played for the first team. He understands what that's about now. He understands the challenges. He'll know what he needs to work on, but he's proved to himself he can do it, and now he just sort of needs to do that again, really. And I thought he spoke really well sort of about that, really, and showing that he is a first-team player. He is one of these ones to be considered in a midfield role when everyone's saying we haven't got enough, as Jürgen sort of said. And yeah, looking forward to watching him. It was funny because we were just saying, where we had that if it was on mic, oh wow, it's a big pre-season for Harvey Elliott. And then I think it was on the record, and then he turns up, so we get to say to him, which is one of the nice things about sort of doing these pre-season thing. But he agreed, and I think he's you know, wants to show what he's all about in these games, and say to Jürgen Klopp, you know, start me in that first game, and he's got a chance. He's got every chance of that happening.
I think so indeed. Last thing is, for the numbers who turned out today, John, you know, they're beginning to ebb away now, but it is, for, you know, we said before about it, it's clearly in Bangkok, this game. There's no getting away from it. But for me, there's this very clear thing where it's about just catching a glimpse of them as much as anything else, and that's something that we're so privileged to get to do by virtue of just going to Anfield and going to away games. But it is that, you know, the idea of going to see them at the airport, the idea of coming here for this, the numbers who've come and done it, and the way they've chosen to do it, they just want to catch a glimpse of them. They've got a lot more than that tonight. I'll say it again, they've got more than I thought they'd get. I thought it might be a little bit of going through the motions. It was not. It was serious football. But for me, that's, you know, it's where Liverpool are now. But it's also, I think, the way football is and the way it's perceived over here. It's been so long since Liverpool have been in Thailand, in this sort of part of the world. And they just want to get a glimpse of this side that, as far as they're concerned, since last saw them, they've won a Champions League.
Yeah.
They've won a Champions League. They've won the Premier League. They've got to a final. They've won two other trophies in the last couple of years. They won the World Club Championships. That's all happened since Liverpool were last here. In fact, this could be the first time these have seen Mo Salah. I'm trying to work that out myself in my own mind.
Yeah,
I think
it will be, yeah,
and
yeah.
So you're in this situation where this is major, isn't it? This is major, major stuff, and they just want to get a glimpse of their heroes, and that's phenomenal to see.
Yeah, and it is, and they've had a good evening, hasn't it? It's been a good evening. You know, if I'd have come to this like as a punter, if you like, I'd be made up. You know, all the stuff outside the stadium that's obviously set up for tomorrow, but was open now. There's all the stages set up. You know, well, we're obviously doing a bit before. Say, obviously, we are doing it before the game tomorrow. Jamie Webster's coming over, which is brilliant. Not seeing Jamie, I think he was doing a festival at the weekend, so he's out sort of a little bit later. Hey, we all had gigs to do, didn't we, Neil?
We all had gigs to do, yeah.
But yeah, he's going to be sort of here, and it should be some night tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to it now. That's giving everyone a bit of a taste there, including the crowd. You know, some of them maybe, you know, can't necessarily afford to go tomorrow, so this is their thing. But I mean, I was talking to the footballers there. Yeah, what noise, you know, a few thousand are made in a training session. It's going to be lively tomorrow, and the Liverpool fans will want to outdo the Man United fans, and vice versa, I'm sure. So yeah, it's going to be fun tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to it. The players have just shown their ready, the supporters in here have just shown that they're going to make loads of noise, and just needs me and you to bring our A game now, Neil.
Absolutely. Hopefully we'll be able to do that. Getting something to eat would be a start. But we're going to obviously go away, pull all this together, get it sent off.
We're done now, mate.
We've got to send things.
That's not my problem.
We've got to admin in order to make all of this happen.
It's been a long day. You've done well, mate, considering this morning you weren't in this country.
It's been quite the schedule, 72 hours, but here we are. It's great to get to do it, and it's so much fun, and it's great to be in the stadium. It's very much captured my imagination. I like a stadium that gets to be flat against the sky, just sort of, know what I mean?
I love that. It's boss in the backdrop of the city behind and all that. It's very, very cool indeed, and it's going to look even better full tomorrow.
It is indeed. It's going to be the business tomorrow, so we'll get everything we can for you around that. Keep an eye on all the social stuff, bits and pieces. We'll be doing the pink at home. The post-match pint will be happening. We've done the Jürgen Klopp interview, the Jürgen Klopp conversation that we're pleased to have had the opportunity to have done. Everything that you need around both this tour and everything to do with Liverpool Football Club on the Anfield Wrap. See you soon. Sports Social Podcast Network.